This podcast is intended for professional investors only. It has been prepared solely for informational purposes and does not constitute an offer or investment advice.
Welcome to the PAM podcast. The war in Ukraine has led to terrible human tragedies, and in addition to the conflict's brutality, the impact on inflation and general economic uncertainty is considerable. In this context, we interview today Johan van Heteruye, CIO Fundamental Equity at DEPAM. He will explain how portfolio managers react to the crisis, their current positioning, and the pathway going forward. Welcome, Johan, to this interview. As a first question, what does the war in Ukraine mean for the future positioning of your investment strategies?
Well, there are many possible outcomes, and honestly, we do not know which one will materialize. But we have to distillate a base case that will determine our future stance versus the respective asset classes. Now, we push back on any discussion about recession or stagflation. Our economists estimate the economy will still grow 2% in Europe this year, including second round effects, and inflation will stay higher for longer. Hence, consumer confidence will probably come down and consumption will be impacted. Also, real disposable income will drop, burdened by rising energy bill. We estimate that the momentum will remain positive. Households have built up a decent amount of savings during the COVID period, and the labor market is roaring back and recovers very well, also in the European Union. Of course, we can expect consumers to shift part of their spending away from discretionary consumption. Business confidence may also be impacted. We expect it will take a hit too. Supply issues that were improving are back. Some companies have to work out a plan B in order to relocate production from Russia, Ukraine to other regions. But we do not expect companies to shelve their long-term investment plans. Governments will go in again by, for instance, easing the energy bill. In some countries like Italy, Spain, retail price regulation was already in place but will be more generalized. And the EU wants to allow member states to do all they can to ease the pressure on consumers facing energy bills dramatically inflated by high gas prices. On central banks, the Fed is only worried about inflation. ECB is doing the same. It has a mandate to get as much as possible on the table. They will rather risk a recession, probably, than a stagflation. We discussed a lot on possible outcomes, and we finally selected the escalation scenario as the most likely. In this scenario, Putin escalates the conflict. Finally, Ukraine will agree on the terms of Russia. And important is also that we believe EU sanctions reach the peak, so we don't expect further cuts on oil and gas imports in the European Union. Financial markets may take another hit when Putin becomes more offensive, and this means that it can get worse before it gets better.
Thanks, Johan, for this overview. How did the equity portfolios react to the crisis in terms of performance, to be more specific?
Well, first of all, I would like to mention that the portfolios were not directly impacted by the conflict, as direct revenue exposure and cost base in Russia was negligible. The equity portfolios are in absolute terms impacted by the correction of the market. But in order to assess the relative return impact on our portfolios, I like to make a distinction between two events that rocked markets year to date. The first one is the regime shift from central banks. The Fed, later followed by the ECB, embarked on a hiking path to fight the high inflation sourced from the post-pandemic demand shock. Steady inflation but rising yields impacted the long duration stocks valuation and initiated a brutal style rotation from growth to value, as we have also witnessed in 2020 and 2021. Although our portfolio managers had gradually installed a barbell to mitigate this impact, the relative performance of the quality growth strategies took a hit in January. Real estate and dividend portfolios benefited from the rotation. The second important event to me started on January 24th, when Russia concentrated its troops near the Ukrainian border and NATO had put its troops on standby. This provoked an energy shock and resulted in roaring energy prices due to Europe's high dependency on Russian gas. This has put upward pressure on already high inflation figures. However, we haven't seen rates increasing since Russia's invasion into Ukraine because potentially weaker business sentiment and consumer confidence weighs on the economic growth outlook. And this played into the cards of the quality companies with less cyclical revenues and pricing power, unlike banks, some industrials, etc. The composite quality names, for instance, outperformed the market since the invasion. But if you compare it year to date, then they still show an underperformance. Consequently, the portfolios gained back part of their negative excess, while dividend strategies lost part of their positive excess. Small caps and real estate managed to stay flat or slightly positive in terms of excess performance over that period. Now, the thematic or global strategies are subject to different flavors determining its performance. When conflicts of this kind happen, investors have a tendency to dump the whole category without making too much the distinction on a company-by-company level. A couple of stock-specific issues aside, these strategies didn't recover on a relative basis due to its import exposure to Europe, but it also leaves upside as better company-specific fundamentals should translate in future outperformance.
Thank you, Johan, for this insight. What about the future positioning of the strategies?
Well, it's still too soon to tell what the events unfolding in Ukraine will mean for the economic outlook. And although it's not our base case, there is little doubt that the risk of entering a recession has increased as a result of the supply shock. Given the supply shock and based on past experiences from a sector perspective, I think that consumer staples, healthcare, utilities, materials and energy could outperform, while at the same time consumer discretionary, industrials, real estate, financials and IT could underperform the market. So the current event has imposed a long-term risk premium on European risk assets. Foreign flows are very important to support European risk assets, mainly equities. In the past, for instance, US investors have been reluctant to invest in Europe given its political instability. Last year, the European market saw an important inflow from US investors thanks to the combination of premium valuation of US equities and the European catch-up potential from reopening the economies after the pandemic, and also because of its value content. Now, with this conflict, US investors will not come back soon. But at the same time, the conflict will be an important catalyst in Europe for further consolidation in fiscal, defense, and energy policies. And this can provide less breeding ground to the Eurosceptics and can lay the basis for a more sound recovery in European equities in the future. Now, our investment style implies that we are well positioned in quality companies with a strong balance sheet that have demonstrated pricing power in the past, that benefit from structural drivers going forward, and have self-help potential to weather the storm. Geographically, we have a preference for US equities due to its low exposure to the EU economy. The US is also more defensive and less exposed to the conflict and its challenges ahead. As mentioned before, we are convinced that our global strategies are relatively well positioned. Other regions can be more interesting in terms of valuation, but are more linked to the cyclical exposure of the market. Because of more uncertainty, we also prefer quality above the value style. When things are or get rough, stick to quality, and this complies with our natural bias in our portfolios. The quality growth style is and remains at the core of DPAM's DNA. We refrain from reacting to short-term movements in the market, but rather prefer to have a longer-term view. We are convinced that companies that can continue to grow in a difficult economic environment are the way forward, and environment that will be less driven by monetary expansion, but more by investment. So to weather this next storm, we should favor companies with pricing power, structural growth drivers, self-help to earnings growth, because when times get rough, stick with quality.
Thank you, Johan, for this interview. I can take as a main message that when things get rough, we should focus on quality. And thank you as well to our audience for joining us in this podcast. We look forward to having you back soon. Have a pleasant day.